let's begin. So we find ourselves this week in Parshas Emor. Our shiur this evening is dedicated in the Zechus of Refuah Shelema for Tzvi Meir Halevi ben Sara Leah. We hope that Tzvi Meir, together with Kol Choli Yisrael, have a complete and enduring refuah. And with that, let's begin. So this week's Parsha, Parshas Emor. So when it comes to Parshas Emor, especially this time of year, the focus often is on the mitzvah of Sfira. Because remember, again, although we're kind of already well into Sfiras HaOmer, the actual mitzvah is contained in this week's Parsha. But instead, I'd like to actually draw your attention to something a little bit different. And I'm excited because the truth is, it's an aspect of the parsha that I never really delved into too much. But as you're going to see in just a moment, it's an aspect of the parsha that has incredible contemporary relevance now as well. And we're going to see, of course, the hashkafic relevance as well. Take a look at number one on your sheets. So the pasuk says, V'lechem v'kali v'charmel, lo sochlu ad etzem hayom azeh, ad aviachem es karban alokechem. Literally translated, you shall not eat bread or flour made from parched grain or fresh grain until this very day, until you bring your God's sacrifice. This is an eternal statute through your generations in all your dwelling places. Which mitzvah is being referred to over here? Anyone know? Chadash. Torah tells us a very simple halacha, which is, grain that was planted since last Pesach does not become permitted for consumption until the bringing of the Omer. Remember again, second day of Yom Tov of Pesach, we bring a very unique type of carbon called the Karban HaOmer. It's unique because at the end of the day, it comes from barley. Almost every other carbon does not come from barley, because barley in general was considered to be a more inferior type of grain. It was usually considered to be more animal feed than for human beings. And therefore, again, there's a unique carbon called the Karban HaOmer. Second day of Pesach, barley is brought. Why is this carbon significant? So we often think that the significance of it is primarily in the fact that it triggers or it begins the counting of the days between Pesach and Shavuos. And that is true. But really, the real ramification or the real implication of this karban is for Chadash. So again, just a quick crash course on the halachos of Yashan and Chadash. Chadash means as follows. So just for illustration purposes, it is Pesach, or it was just Pesach 5779. Any grain which was planted since Pesach 5778, one is not permitted to consume until the Karban HaOmer on 5779 is brought. That new grain, prior to the bringing of the Karban HaOmer, is called Chadash, the new crop. After the Karban HaOmer is brought, that crop then changes identity and now becomes known as Yashan. Right? It becomes Yashan. Similarly, again, any grain that has been subsequently planted since Pesach 5779, this is the planting season. So anything that's been planted over the last couple of weeks, when it sprouts, it will be called Chadash. Torah tells me I can't eat Chadash ultimately until I bring the Karban HaOmer. Okay? So very, very, very important halacha. Very important idea. But I want to show you something amazing. Skip to number three for just a moment. So Rashi says something fascinating. Rashi says, "B'chomo shoseichem," and the Torah goes out of its way to say that this halacha applies in all of your dwelling places. So if I were to ask you, why does the Torah tell me that it applies in all of my dwelling places? Well, let me before that. If I were to ask you, where does the mitzvah of Chadash apply? What would you say? Israel. Why? Because it's an agricultural mitzvah. Because remember again, all of our agricultural mitzvahs only apply in the land of Israel. Shemitah only applies in the land of Israel. Trumas and Maestras only apply in the land of Israel. Peah, Leket, Shichacha, these are halachos that apply in the land of Israel. Chadash/Yashan, what we'll call the Israel of Chadash, the prohibition to consume the new crop until the Karban HaOmer, is an agricultural mitzvah. As such, logic would dictate that it only applies in Eretz Yisrael. So Rashi says something very interesting. But however, B'chol Moshe Sechem, in all of your dwelling places, makes it sound like what? Wherever you live, right? Wherever you live, which sounds like whether you live in Eretz Yisrael or outside of Eretz Yisrael. So Rashi, number three, says something amazing. He says, B'chol Moshe Sechem, Nechleku Bo Chachmei Yisrael. This is a matter of dispute amongst the wise men of Israel. Yesh shalom du mikan, sha'chadash noheg b'chutzal la'aretz. So there are some who say that based on the phrase b'chom moshvo seichem in all of your dwelling places, that teaches me that the prohibition of chadash applies even outside the land of Israel. V'yesh omrim lo ba ela lelamed shelo nitztavu al hachadash ela la'acher yerushav yeshiva mishakavshu v'chelku. Others say no. B'chom moshvo seichem means as follows. The mitzvah only applies in Eretz Yisrael. But when does that mitzvah begin? Only after Eretz Yisrael was conquered and divided. A little crash course in Jewish history. Yehoshua leads the Jewish people into the land of Israel. It takes them 14 years, 7 years of active war, 7 years of dividing up the land, for every tribe to receive its respective tribal portion. So Rashi quotes a fundamental machlokes, a fundamental dispute between Chachmei Yisrael, the wise men of Israel. One opinion says, B'chol Moshe Oseichem teaches you that the mitzvah, or really the Isra of Chadash, we'll call it the mitzvah of Chadash, applies wherever you live. Eretz Yisrael, Chutz La'aretz. Other opinion says, no, it only applies in Eretz Yisrael. But if it only applies in Eretz Yisrael, why do you say that phrase, B'chol Moshe Oseichem, in all of your dwelling places? Because the mitzvah only begins when? When you are, quote-unquote, dwelling in Eretz Yisrael. And at what point in time are you considered to be dwelling in Eretz Yisrael? When? When you are living there, when you have your tribal portion, when you are living in your allotted area in Eretz Yisrael. So this is the fundamental machlokes. And again, you should understand, of course, this machlokes has ramifications to us to this very day. Does Chadash apply in Chutz La'aretz? Does it not apply in Chutz La'aretz? Right? Do we have to worry about Chadash? Not have to worry about Chadash? So the answer is... yes, right, yes, whichever way we're going to see, it's a machlokes, right? But clearly, again, it's pointing out that that machlokes, which, again, this happens to be a good time of year, even for people who are careful with Chadash, because at the end of the day, remember, again, at this point in time, everything that was Chadash now becomes Yashan. So the Chadash people, the Yashan people, take a deep breath this time of year. Everything is a bit easier. But what I want to point out is something amazing. So I want to share with you tonight a piece by the Lubavitcher Rebbe. Now, the Lubavitcher Rebbe's insight is predicated on Rashi's terminology. Rashi, many times in his commentary, records halachic disputes. But almost every single time when Rashi records halachic dispute, he uses the same verbiage. Nechleku raboseinu. Raboseinu, our rabbis, have disputed this. If you'll notice over here, Rashi uses a different verbiage, says the Rebbe. Rashi says, nechleku bo Chachmei Yisrael. What's there between Chachmei Yisrael and Raboseinu? So Lubavitcher Rebbe posits that Raboseinu refers to the halachic arbiters, those people who decide matters of halacha. So when it's a matter, when it's just a simple discussion about a matter of halacha, that's Nechleku Raboseinu. When it's Nechleku Chachmei Yisrael, Chachma refers to something more than just our legal code, than just our legal system. Chachma really refers to something deeper. Chachma, the Rebbe posits, refers to something that has hashkafas hachayim implications, life outlook implications. And as such, posits the Lubavitcher Rebbe, this simple machlokes, which Rashi is quoting, is not just simply a legal dispute, but as we're going to see in just a few moments, it is a life dispute. The Chachmei Yisrael, the wise men of Israel, dispute this, and from this dispute, we come to see two different paths, or two different life outlooks. Let's analyze. Take a look at number four. So according to you here, from the Rebbe's Likutei Sichos, so Lubavitcher Rebbe writes as follows. He says, number four, paragraph Aleph. Hadavar musbar be'emtsos diuk ma'anyein bilshono shorashi. So here the Rebbe just, this is what we just said before. Chachmei Yisrael, skip down to paragraph Beis. Mashmaos devaravu, shezelorak vikuach ha'osik beperish hamiluli shel divrei aposuk. Shezorach perish, text, aposuk tzvichim lios raboseinu. El yesh kan diuk misug shone. Vikuach shelishmo nedresh es chachma. There's a different type of dispute over here. Not a simple legal one, not a simple halachic one, but something that requires chachma. You know how sometimes, when you want to describe a person, when you want to describe a person who has wisdom, so you say they have chachma. Chachma doesn't necessarily mean book smarts, right? There are plenty of people who have a lot of knowledge, but you would never go to them for advice because they don't seem to possess Chachma. Chachma is like this intuition, this understanding about life. So therefore, again, says the Rebbe, Nechlechu bo Chachmei Yisrael means embedded in this halachic machlokes is a much deeper Chachma discussion, a life outlook discussion. Skip down to number 5. Writes the Rebbe something amazing. And this is the introduction he gives to this. 5 Aleph. Kasher Adam Makriv Karban. When a person goes ahead and offers up a karban, mikol sug shehu, from any different category of karban, this is very important, hadavar tzarech le'ore benafsho regesh, shiyat'im l'sokhno shala karban. Remember, this is very important. A lot of times we have difficulty relating to the concept of karbanos. You know, let's be honest. So we all wait for Mashiach every single day. But there's a part of us that's a little bit uneasy regarding what detail. I'm thinking to myself, can you imagine, like, schlepping a sheep up to Yerushalayim? Like, can you imagine? I'm assuming that the sheep just doesn't follow as it's being taken to the altar to be slaughtered. Can you imagine? Meaning, you know the stress you have packing up your mishpacha for a trip? So imagine it's the mishpacha and the sheep, right? It's the mishpacha and the goat, right? It's the mishpacha and a pair of birds. It's strange. It's strange to us. It's strange to us to think about, ultimately, again, what is that? So there's a whole machlokes, this whole dispute. Will there be karbanos in this third Beis HaMikdash? Not be karbanos? Mashiach will tell us that. But one thing we know for sure, which is the offering of an animal is not an ends. It's a means. The goal of the karban is to awaken something within me. Middle of paragraph 5, source number 5, middle of paragraph Aleph. Lo dai be'etzem ha'akrava ha'technis shal behema. One does not fulfill their karbanic obligation simply through the mechanistic or technical slaughtering and offering of the animal. Lo dai ba'akrava ha'gashmis ala adam lios gam mu'ura nafshis pa'afanas tochen ha'karbanas ha'akravas ha'karban. The whole idea of a karban is the bringing of a carbon is to awaken a spiritual reality for me. You see, this is exceptionally important. We are physical beings, and because we are physical beings, it's helpful for us to have physical avenues of connection. You know, think about this in just a moment. The Sefer Achinuch writes about this, that in a perfect world, we would not have a Beis HaMikdash. In a perfect world, you probably wouldn't even have shuls. Why not? I don't need to go somewhere to connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I could be anywhere and connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why do I need an address? Why do I need a structure? Why do I need a Beis HaMikdash? So the simple answer is it's an accommodation. HaKadosh Baruch Hu realized that as physical beings, we need a physical point of contact. We need a physical connection. When did HaKadosh Baruch Hu, quote-unquote, discover this reality about us? When did he discover this? By Chayta Egel. Excellent. By the sin of the golden calf. The sin of the golden calf, deep down, was a desire for some type of physical connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Such if you go with the motif, which many Mefarshim do, that it was not idolatry. They were not trying to recreate a God. They were trying to recreate a physical connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Moshe served that role. When they thought that Moshe was gone, they had to recreate it. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us these physical things. Mitzvos are not ends. Mitzvos are means to connect. Therefore, says the Rebbe, when you bring a karban, if you think you just show up, drop off the sheep, say to the Kohen, have a great day and go home and you're done. No. The karban is there to awaken something within me. To awaken a regesh, a hergesh, to awaken some type of feeling within me. Look at paragraph Beis. For example, Kasher adam makriv karban chatos, if a person brings a sin offering, O asham, karbanos haba'im kitshuva al chit, tsarich hadavar la'orer belibo regesh shacharatu teshuva. When a person brings a sin offering, what's the goal of the sin offering? Right? What's the goal? I committed an aveira. I bring a karban chatos. So suddenly again, I just offer up the karban. Everything is done. It's hocus pocus. We're clear. God, we're good because I offered you a sheep. What does it mean? So the idea is that the karban, I did something wrong. And because I did something wrong, an animal is going to lose its life. Right? And as the Sefer HaChinuch says, maybe I should have lost my life for that terrible thing. Maybe that should be my accountability. It's there to go ahead and awaken feelings of guilt, awaken feelings of personal responsibility, so as to spur me to go out and do tshuva. The goal is, again, I bring the chatos because that animal is my physical medium to almost be the catalyst for the tshuva process. Look at the last paragraph in number 5. Kashera adam makriv karban toda. Similarly again, when a person brings a thanksgiving offering, a toda, bisham ha'ora nisi shehu chozeh, because of something miraculous which occurred to me, tzarech hadavar la'ora bo regesh shaladaya laborei ha'olam, ala chesed shu'ose ito. What's the goal of the carbon toda? The toda is not to thank you. This is very important. The toda is not to thank you in the same way that the chatos, the sin offering, is not the apology. Right? I'll give you a very simple idea. If you get into an argument with someone and you hurt someone very badly, and you go out and you show up the next day at their door with a present, does that solve the problems? Well, I'm proud. Usually people say it depends how big the present is. Right? But the answer is it doesn't solve the problem. It's nice. But if there's no apology that accompanies the present is empty. So if I did something wrong and I just show up with a chatos, okay, that's nice. But the chatos is only meaningful if ultimately it's the trigger, if it's the catalyst for my own personal tshuva journey. Something happened to me. God saved me from a difficult circumstance. I have to bring a thanksgiving offering. Showing up with the karban and the loaves is not the thanks. What's the thanks? The thanks is the thanks. Actually saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, thank you HaKadosh Baruch Hu for delivering me from these difficult circumstances. Thank you for always being there for me. And from this magnanimous event, I realize the smaller things you do for me day in and day out. Turn the page. So the Rebbe goes on. He says, number six. Kimo b'chala karbanos. So this is, and by the way, this, you could do this with every single karban. Karbanos are not an ends. Karbanos are a means. A karban is the physical entity that is there to be the catalyst for an emotional, spiritual experience. And by the way, this is not just true with karbanos, as I mentioned before. This is true with all mitzvos. Mitzvos are not an end. Mitzvos are a means to achieve some heightened level of spiritual emotional awareness. And this is very important. It's very important in the chinuch of our children, because sometimes if all we're telling our children or teaching our children is how to do stuff, but not telling them why that stuff is important or what they're supposed to get from that stuff, at a certain point in time, it doesn't, why? What am I doing? God needs this? And so God doesn't need anything. So I'm doing it for me. So the mitzvahs only become meaningful if I know what I'm supposed to achieve. So here we're focusing on karbanos. Part number 6. Kimo b'chala karbanos, gamkin benidon didon, gamkin benidon shel israchilas chadash. The Rebbe now wants to take this paradigm and apply it to the halacha of chadash, or the isser of chadash. Watch this. Hasiba l'isra achilas chadash. Ever wonder to yourself, why can't I eat chadash? Right? There's enough dietary restrictions. We do not have to start going and adding on more. But yet the Torah tells me, I cannot eat the new grain crop that grew since last Pesach until I bring the Karban HaOmer of this year. Why? Why? What's the message? And the Rebbe says something amazing. He says, Hikidei shereishis kitzirchem Hatvua harishona migduli hashana, tale ke karban haomer bebeis hamikdash. What's the goal? What is the karban omer? The karban omer is the first grain that is harvested. It happens to be barley, but it's the first grain that's harvested. What do I do with the first grain that's harvested? I don't go home and use it for myself. I don't use it for commerce. I don't use it ultimately to feed myself. What do I use it for? I use it as a karban. I use it in a sacred fashion. So what's the message? So I'm taking the very first thing, and ultimately, again, I'm using it in some type of spiritual service as a karban to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This sounds very much like what other mitzvah? Bikurim. Excellent, right? Just like Bikurim. I'm taking the first, and I'm giving it to God. Okay, so again, on a simple level, I didn't do it inside, but this is a Sefer HaChinuch that I put over here in number 2. On a very simple level, it could just be highlighting the concept of divine ownership. When I give the first to God, what I'm effectively saying is what? Is what? It's yours. It's yours. Remember, again, in an agricultural society, the farmer definitely runs the risk of falling into the trap of kochi va'otzem yadi asli asachayel hazeh. Look what I've accomplished. Look what I have done. Look what I have planted. And so we force the farmer to give the first. Anytime you have a first, you must give that to God to highlight the fact, Lahashema aretz umo'o, everything belongs to God. But the Rebbe takes it a step further and he says something so amazing. Hadavar noed, latas belief ha'adam, es ha'akara, v'ha'argosha sha'alav, lases lebore ha'olam, es ha'reshis sheyeshlo. Says the Lubavitcher is something so amazing. When I go ahead and I bring my Karban Omer, which is the first of my barley, the first of my grain, what it does is, it awakens within me a realization that I have to give my first to God as well. I have to give my first to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What does that mean? As HaMufchar V'HaTov Shiyeshlo. The Rebbe says something amazing. When you give the first barley to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the message that is supposed to awaken within me is I have so much to give. I have so much to give. And I have to figure out a way to give my best to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You see, the first is synonymous with the best. I give the first, I give the best to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I give the first barley. I'm giving the best barley. So what's the message? That God is the owner of everything? Yes, of course. But there's something deeper and a bit more nuanced, which is, I have to make sure that I'm giving my best to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I possess many talents. I possess many abilities. I possess many kochos. Am I using them in a spiritual fashion? Am I devoting them to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? When I say devoting them, I don't mean exclusively. But am I somehow utilizing the first of my talents, the first of my abilities to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? I have so much to give. Am I ultimately giving my best to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So it says there was something so amazing. Do you know what the message over here is? The message is that I have so much incredible potential. That's the message. The earth has so much potential. It puts forth, ultimately, again, that first barley. What do I do with that first bit of potential? I give it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What's the message for me? I have so much incredible potential. So much incredible potential. So many incredible abilities. So many kochos. Am I using them in some type of heightened purpose? In some type of heightened or spiritual way? Paragraph base. Ach kevan shekarban omer hamuva lebeis hamikdash. But now remember again, now we delve into the technicalities. The technicality is that the karban omer is brought to the Beis HaMikdash. Hurak mehakatsir hagadol be'eretz Yisrael. Kach shehergish v'akara hanovim mikach, shereishis ketzirchem hishal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hainu rak itzla hayidum hamisgorim be'eretz. So listen to this. Now, here's a technical issue. We know, so the Karban Omer comes from the barley. The barley that is brought for the Karban Omer only comes from where? From Eretz Yisrael. Right? It's Eretz Yisrael barley. So it's the first of the barley of Eretz Yisrael that is offered up as the Karban Omer. Which then leads us to an interesting question. Ola she'ela, keitzot ma'orim regesh ze v'hakara zu, gam eitzel Yehudi chutz la'aretz. Eitzel eilu shalom v'yem me'atvua shalahem es Karban Omer. So watch this. This is something amazing. First of all, now I have a different understanding as to what the Karban HaOmer is about. What is the Karban HaOmer about? Why am I bringing the first of the barley? Yes, demonstrate divine ownership over everything. Absolutely. Since there is something different, the Omer represents the first of the earth's potential. It's the first of the earth's koach. And what does the earth do with its first batch of potential? It serves it right up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I see myself in that barley. I see myself in that earth. I too am brimming and filled with potential. The question is, what am I doing with my potential? What am I doing with my kochos? Am I squandering my abilities? Am I wasting my abilities? Am I using them in more self-serving ways? Or am I giving of my abilities, my kochos, and my potential to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as well? That's what I have. That's what the Karban HaOmer, just like the Chatos, triggers in me the thought, did I do tshuva for that thing I did wrong? The Todah triggers within me again, do I give proper thanks for the miracles that God bestows upon me every single day? The Omer am I using my potential? Am I using my abilities ultimately in the right way? Says Rabbi, now we have a problem. This works for the Jews of Eretz Yisrael. Because the Jews of Eretz Yisrael, right, again, they see the barley growing in their land, in Eretz Yisrael. They see it harvested, they see it offered up. What about the Jews of Chutz La'aretz? Right? What about diaspora Jews? How do we go ahead and awaken within them this reality that they possess potential as well? Right? It's a good shaila. How do we go ahead? So if you're in Eretz Yisrael, you see the Karban HaOmer, you see the Beis HaMikdash, this message comes through loud and clear. But I'm a diaspora Jew. I'm living outside the land of Israel. I don't see the Karban HaOmer. I don't own land in Eretz Yisrael. I don't come to the Beis HaMikdash. So at the end of the day, how do I awaken this reality for myself in my heart? And here the Rebbe says something absolutely amazing. Source Zion. So writes the Rebbe. He says, Al Kain, Yesh Diyun, Nechlek Abo, Chachmei Yisrael. So says the Lubavitcher Rebbe, this is the dispute that is unfolding in Rashi. The dispute in Rashi is not just simply a technical or mechanistic dispute as to whether or not the Isser of Chadash applies only in Eretz Yisrael or outside of the land as well, but rather, again, this is a fundamental dispute as to how is the best way to awaken holiness within people. How do you inspire people? So look what the Rebbe says, paragraph Beis. I'm sorry, before we get to the end of paragraph Aleph. Yeshnon, shtei shitos, keitzad la'ora regesh zeh, eitzel yehudi hatefutzos. There is a fundamental dispute, two different opinions, as to how you awaken, how do you create inspiration in diaspora Jewry. Watch this. Paragraph Beis. Shita achas goreses, shemitzvas chadosh achin noheges gam b'chutz la'aretz. Gam Yehudi chol asurim le'achol chadosh, v'cheven shem asurim ba'achilas hatvua chadosh ad havaas karban ha'omer be'eretz Yisrael, hadover ye'orer gam bohem es ha'akara, shehareishis shayeches la'akodish baruch hu. Al af shemi'atvua shelahem lo makriv mes ha'omer. So the first opinion says, if you want to inspire diaspora Jewry, you don't have to go ahead and reinvent the playbook, but instead, what do? Just take a page out of the Eretz Yisrael playbook. So whatever applies in Eretz Yisrael should apply in Chutz La'aretz as well. Chadash is Asr in Chutz La'aretz. Now remember, we're going to discuss how Chadash fits into this in just a moment. But Chadash is Asr in Eretz Yisrael until when? Until when? Until you bring the Omer. So we're going to apply the same exact rule in Chutz La'aretz. Don't change anything from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz La'aretz. At the end of the day, let them follow the same halachas. And when they follow the same halachas, the same way that the Jews in Eretz Yisrael are inspired when the Karban HaOmer, the first of the barley, the potential of the earth is lifted up, and that reminds them to utilize their potential as well, the Jews in the diaspora will receive the same exact message. But watch this, paragraph Gimel. Achashita hashnia to'enes. The second opinion says, Shaderech la'orer osam lahagia l'regesh va'akara ilu. There's a different path to inspiring diaspora Jewry. How do you do that? Get ready for this. He lo al yedei shigam heim yu asurim ba'achilas chadash. Don't make diaspora Jews obligated in chadash. Rather, elo lehefech. Etzem ha'uvda shigiduli hasado shelahem einam bichlal b'deina klal b'din isra achilas chadash. Hadover ye'orer etzlam es ha'akara b'shefal matzavam. This is amazing. Instead, posits the Rebbe, tell the diaspora Jews that at the end of the day, they have no Isser Chadash. You guys are good. No Isser Chadash. Eat your new crop whenever you want. And what's the message if you don't have an Isser Chadash? What's the message, says the Rebbe? What's the message? You're on such a low level. You really better get it together. Look at you. I'm not talking to anyone in specific. I'm saying, look at you, right? Look where you're holding. Look at you. You don't even have that kedusha to require you to abstain from chadash, right? The obligation to abstain from chadash represents a heightened level of holiness. You don't even have that. You could eat whatever you want, however you want, whenever you want. Look at the lowly spiritual level you have. At kamein nechusim ruchokim meha'akara hanidreshes. how far you are from the mark. Ad kidei kach, shem einam ru'uyim klal lahakrav asa omer, v'im klal einam asurim bedin chadash. So isn't this incredible? So the Rebbe says, the second approach says, no, chadash doesn't apply in chutz laretz. Because what's the goal? Let the people realize their own lowliness. Let the people realize how far they are from actualizing their potential. Let the people realize how much they have missed the mark. And hopefully, again, that will motivate them ultimately to what? To go ahead and do better. Paragraph Dalid. Ha'kara b'shef al zeh, a recognition of this lowly state. Ta'orah b'hem ratzon az, shehergish shakrav asor ma'ora etzalachem l'nisar Eretz Yisrael. What the Karban HaOmer does for the Jews in Eretz Yisrael, the absence of the Karban HaOmer will do for the Jews of Chutz La'aretz. When a Jew in Chutz La'aretz realizes, I don't even have an Isra Chadash, there's no Kiddusha in my life, my potential isn't even apparent, isn't even visible, how far I am from actualizing my potential, that'll be the catalyst to get things together and move it forward. HaKarazu Tifal Aleim Va'od B'Mishnah Tokef. This recognition will be the catalyst for my dynamic activity. Paragraph Hey, and we'll tie this together. Zoha Siba Sherashi Mevi Eshte Adeos Hagishos Halalo B'Seidro Alam Zeh. So listen to this. It says Lubavitch Rebbe, this is an incredibly novel interpretation. The Rebbe says this fundamental dispute is a fundamental dispute about how we inspire diaspora Jewry, but in reality it's a fundamental dispute as to how we inspire ourselves. Nechleku bochach me Yisrael. The great sages of Israel, in their Hashkafas HaChaim, saw that there are two different pathways to inspiration. What are the two pathways to inspiration? The first pathway says there isn't Isra Chadash. What does it mean if there isn't Isra Chadash? That means the way to self-inspire is how? Focus on the positive qualities you have and build on them. Remember again, what happens with the Karban HaOmer? You bring the Karban HaOmer, you see the earth produced barley. And what do you remind yourself of? What do you remind yourself of? If the earth produces barley, then what? Then I have potential. Just like the earth is putting forth its fruit, its barley. And this is just the first. This is just because there's going to be so much more of the crop that comes in afterwards. This is the first, so much potential. I see myself in the barley. I see myself in the earth. My kokos are only beginning to come out. They're only beginning to actualize. How much more I can become. How much more I can accomplish. And what I do is when I realize that I've only touched the tip, I'm only scraping the tip of my potential, the tip of the iceberg of my potential, then that pushes me to do more. That's the Isra Chadash. Isra Chadash means you can't do anything until when? You can't do anything until you bring the Karban HaOmer. So the second approach, I'm going to come back to Chadash in just a moment. The second approach says, no, the best way to motivate yourself, the best way to motivate yourself to grow is how? By looking at your faults. Looking at your shortcomings. Look how lowly you are. Look how negatively you behave. Look at all the opportunities you have missed. You don't even have chadash. You don't even have an omer. Your barley isn't even visible. And when you realize at the end of the day how low you are, I'm going to say to myself, I don't want to stay here. I don't want to stay here. Right? I don't want to be a bottom feeder, a bottom dweller. I need to lift myself up and I need to do better. Says Lubavitcher, the machlokis over here is a machlokis about how we inspire ourselves. Do we build off our strengths or do we build off our weaknesses? I'll share with you something very interesting, which is even if you look at the terminology here, so right, we have chadash and yashan. So if I were to ask you, if you didn't know the halachas, and I tell you there are two things, chadash and yashan, which would you assume is better? Chadash, right? You remember, like yashan? Who wants yashan, right? Old, right? Chadash. And by the way, it's not even that. You know, we're only a few weeks away from Pesach, right? A few weeks out of Pesach, chametz is referred to as yashan, right? Why? Because how does something become chametz? You let time pass. You let it become quote unquote old. But what's amazing over here is in this halacha, the terminologies are reversed. See, essentially what the Rebbe is saying is as follows. In our context over here, chadash is chidush represents the opportunity to renew, the opportunity for renewal. That's what chadash represents. Brand new opportunity to remake myself, to reforge myself, to remake my life. What does yashan represent? But chadash just represents the beginning, the potential. What does yashan represent? Yashan is a person who has taken the chadash and has put it on the altar. Yashan is the person who has taken the potential and done something. You know what the greatest challenge in life is? The greatest challenge is every single morning I wake up filled with potential. And then what happens before I turn around? It's 11 o'clock. And then another time I turn around, it's 4 o'clock. And then already it's 9 o'clock. And I'm too exhausted to do anything with my Karban Omer, with my potential. And the day is done. I start the day with Chadash. Chadash is Chidush. New beginnings, new opportunities, new potential. My goal is to make my Chadash into Yashan. How do you make Chadash into Yashan? How do you turn your potential into kinetic? You put it on the Mizbeach. You lift it up in some exalted way. You use it. You live it. You act on it. That's what Chadash and Yashan is. And what's the piece ultimately again that distinguishes in Chadash and Yashan? That's the Karban HaOmer. The Karban HaOmer is the first little bit of Chadash. It's the first brand new crop. It's the potential. Think about, you see, you get much more excited about this if you were farmers, right? Because at the end of the day, what does the Omer represent? That's the first fruits of my labor. I worked so hard. I loved that field. I took care of that field. I irrigated that field. I plowed that field. And these couple of stalks of barley, this is the first fruits of my labor. And I know I'm going to harvest them now. And there's so much more to come. That Chadash, that Omer represents my potential. What am I going to do? I'm going to take that potential. I'm going to put it on the Mizbeach. I'm going to lift it up. And the message to me is, this is going to be a good year. This is going to be a good year. This is my year. This is the year I'm going to make it happen. This is the Omer I'm going to make it happen. This is the year I'm going to take all of the Chadash, the potential, and I'm going to make it Yashan. I'm not going to let the potential sit around. I'm going to actualize it, utilize it, turning from Chadash into Yashan. So says the Lubavitch Rebbe, so the Chachmei Yisrael have a machlokes, a life machlokes. So this works beautifully in Eretz Yisrael, but in Chutz La'aretz, now you have to appreciate something. When we speak about Chutz La'aretz, where's Chutz La'aretz? Where's Chutz La'aretz? So remember again, Chutz La'aretz represents diaspora, galus. Galus isn't just simply a geographic state. Galus is a personal state as well. A person can be standing inside of the Beis HaMikdash, and they're still in galus. Because real galus represents being exiled from one's inner core. One's inner self. Geula, it means when I'm really living the life that I need to live and I am the person I need to be. That's geula. That's redemption. Galus is when I'm exiled from my true self. I am in exile. And again, you could be standing in Eretz Yisrael right inside of the third base of Mitzvah with your arm around the Mashiach and you could still be in galus. So nechelku bo chachmei Yisrael. The wise men of Israel ask a fundamental question. So if I'm in Galus, if I'm in Chutz La'aretz, how do I inspire? How should I inspire myself? To which there are two schools of thought. First school of thought says, Chadash applies in Chutz La'aretz, which means, when you look in the mirror, it's important to be able to rattle off the great things about yourself. And it's important to reinforce the things that you're doing well. And it's important to recognize that you are a good person, that you have many milas, many incredible attributes, character traits, potential, and inspire yourself. Almost be your own cheerleader. Be your own cheering section. Tell yourself that you're great. Remind yourself that you're great. And point out to yourself all the ways in which you are great. Because if you remind yourself that you're great, then what? You will take your chadash, you will take your omer, and you will take the chadash, the potential, and turn it into yashan. Second opinion says, no, that's delusional. That's delusional. You want to grow? There's only one way to grow, which is you have to be honest about who you are and who you're not. So don't stand in front of the mirror and be your cheering section. Stand in front of the mirror and be a mashkiach, right? Be a bal musar on yourself. And remind yourself about all the areas in which you are deficient, all of your failings, how low you are and how far from the Omer you really are. How you haven't even begun to see the Chadash break through the ground yet. Your barley is still beneath the soil. It hasn't even come up yet. And if you beat yourself up a little bit like that, so the second school of thought says, that will be the catalyst to grow. Who's correct? Right. So we again, different things appeal to us. But I want to show you something amazing. I'm sorry?
Is that not like?
So yes, you definitely saw these different approaches in the different Musar movements, right? The Nirvadik movement was all about shiflus ha'adam, the lowliness of man, the second approach, whereas other of the Musar movements, certainly the Chassidus and the Baal Shem Tov, were much more about gadlus ha'adam. But I want to show you something amazing. Take a look at number 8 on your sheet. So again, this is not a halacha shir, so don't take anything I say per se halacha lemaisa. I'm really trying to give you hashkafa lemaisa. So look what the Shulchan Aruch writes in number 8. Isser chadash noig bein ba'aretz bein b'chutz la'aretz. I'm so happy to hear this. Right? The Isser of chadash applies in Eretz Yisrael and in chutz la'aretz. Which means what? The Shulchan Aruch is passing, again, leaving aside the halachic implications, I just want to point, just one word about halacha. Whether or not Chadash actually applies in Chutz La'aretz or not is a subject of much dispute. So if you're interested, you can ask a shayla about that. But that, I'm not passing halach over here. I'm just saying the Shulchan Aruch says that the Isra of Chadash applies in Eretz Yisrael and in Chutz La'aretz. Music to our ears. Because what is the Shulchan Aruch saying? The catalyst to growth is how? Build yourself up. Build yourself up. Don't knock yourself down. Build yourself up. Even if you are outside the land of Israel, you have a Karban Omer. Even if you are outside the land of Israel, your barley is coming up through your field. Your potential is clear. Your potential is coming forth. And what's your obligation? Your obligation is to take your potential, take your barley, put it on your personal Mizbeach, take the Chadash, the Chidush potential, and turn it into Yashan, turn it into something substantive and real. That's the Shulchan Aruch. I'll show you something amazing. Take a look at number 9. So the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh says something amazing. He quotes over here, HaBaal Shem Tov Shal B'Chalomo Al Chadosh Bizman HaZeh Echadin. So okay, there's a lot more explanation that needs to be given to this, which we're not going to do tonight. The Baal Shem Tov wanted to know what was the halacha. Do we observe the stringencies of Chadosh in Chutz La'aretz or not? He decided that he was having a prophetic trance. He was in a chalom, in a dream. And he decided to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu whether or not, you know, some people open up a Shulchan Aruch. I guess if you're the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, you slip into a trance, you slip into a dream, and you ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu like that. So he asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, does the din of Chadosh apply outside of Eretz Yisrael or not? Va'anu oso. And they responded back to the Shulchan, whoever the they is, Shela'achar Petiras Habach, Tzininu Es HaGehenem Arboim Yom. Okay, there is all. So listen to this. The Bach, Rav Yoel Sirkis, is one of the commentaries on the tour. The Bach happened to paskin that Chadosh does not apply outside of Eretz Yisrael. Now, there's a discussion. Did he mean Chadosh doesn't apply to Jewish land, to non-Jewish land? Not important for our purposes tonight. The point over here is that the Bach himself, Rav Yoel Sirkis himself, paskined that Chadosh does not apply in Chutz La'aretz. Watch this. And therefore, as a result, after the Bach died, the Bach's rulings were so profound for Klal Yisrael that in his merit, they cooled down Gehenim for 40 days. That's a good thing, especially if you're in Gehenim. Right? So in the merit of the Bach, they cooled down Gehenim for 40 days. Watch this. Machmas shehayetzarech zeh lechvot habach. Ubaboker. So ultimately, again, when the Baal Shem Tov woke up and he realized the great kavod they gave to the Bach, that when the Bach passed away, they cooled down Gehenim for 40 days. The Baal Shem Tov said that was because of the Bach's psak halacha regarding Chadosh. Since the Bach said that Chadosh is permitted in Chutz La'aretz, in his merit when he died, they cooled down Gehenim for 40 days. What did the Baal Shem Tov do? Uba boker amad Baal Shem Tov v'shalach lahavi sheichar min ha-chadosh v'shaseyu. The next morning, the Baal Shem Tov sends out his gabbai to buy him some beer from Chadosh beer, and the Baal Shem Tov drank it. I'm sure not until the afternoon, but he drank it. V'amar, kedai habach shematir kedei lismoch alav. So, okay, there's a lot to discuss, but what happened over here? The Baal Shem Tov had incredible simcha that the halacha follows the Bach. Chadash doesn't apply in Chutz La'aretz. So we've got the Shulchan Aruch telling us that Chadash does apply in Chutz La'aretz. The Baal Shem Tov seeing in his Nevuah that the halacha is like the Bach. Chadash doesn't apply in Chutz La'aretz. So what's the halacha? Or I should say better, what's the hashkafa? The hashkafa, of course, is a hybrid model. The hashkafa is you have to live a life of chadash applying in Chutz La'aretz, and you have to live a life of chadash not applying in Chutz La'aretz. People who spend their lives beating themselves up, at the end of the day, get nowhere. Because at a certain point in time, one of two things happen. No one wants to feel like a nothing. So if I feel like a nothing, either what I'm just going to do is, I'm just going to stop trying. I'm just going to stop trying and give up. Or if I'm already a nothing, I might as well be good at being a nothing. Everyone wants to be good at something. Some people are good at being righteous. Some people are good at being wicked. So at the end of the day, if I beat myself up all of the time, then at the end of the day, if I tell myself I'm a nothing and you tell it enough, you will ultimately again remain a nothing. On the flip side, if all I do is tell myself how wonderful I am, and all I do is focus on my strengths and ignore my shortcomings, then I'm not being honest with who I really am. You know, this I often remark about this. I always find it interesting. You know, you'll hear this, parents sometimes refer to their children as tzaddik. And I've always found it interesting. I feel like saying, I know your kid. He's not a tzaddik, right? I've seen him in shul. He's not a tzaddik, right? And it's important because as parents, also, we have to be careful. Our job is to build our children up, make them feel great about themselves, but not to the point that they don't understand their shortcomings. Because at the end of the day, if you do that, I'm actually doing my kid a disservice. It's the same way if when I look at the mirror, all I try to see is my good. I focus on the good, not focus on the negativity or the shortcomings. Who am I helping? That's delusional. So to always eat chadash and chutz la'aretz could lead ultimately again to self-delusion. To only focus on my strengths leads to a self-delusional life. To only focus on my weaknesses, my shortcomings, my faults and my frailties leads to extended personal galus, and at the end of the day prevents a person from amassing to anything. So I'm just pointing out to you that the two hashkafic outlooks that Rashi points out over here, actually you find them espoused in the Shulchan Aruch and in the Baal Shem Tov. Because the answer, like most things in life, is that Derech HaMamutza, is finding that middle ground. Recognizing that yes, at the end of the day, I am like the barley. I see myself in the field. And I get excited when they bring in the first crop of the barley because I see myself in that. Just like the earth is showing its potential and has only begun to start, has only just started, there's so much more vitality still to come. I see myself ultimately in that earth. I have potential. I need to figure out how to maximize that potential. I need to figure out how to take the first of that potential and use it for something halig, use it for something holy, use it for something special. Because in my life, the Isser of Chadash applies in Chutz La'aretz. My job is to take my Chadash, my Chidush, my potential, my renewal, and make it into Yashan. Don't let it stay potential. Use it to accomplish something. But at the same time, I also have to be mindful of the opinion that says, Chadash doesn't apply in Chutz La'aretz. Look at where I am. I should be somewhere different. I should be someone different. I'm capable of more. I'm better than this. I have so many kochos. I have a picture, an image of the person I know I can be, I should be. I'm not there yet. And if you bring these two things together, this creates the well-balanced Jew. Says the Lubavitch Rebbe, now we understand why Rashi says, why Rashi's Lashon, excuse me, of Nechleku bo chach me Yisrael. The machlokes about the Isra of Chadash ultimately applying in Chutz La'aretz is not simply a halachic debate, but it's a hashkafic debate as well. But we resolve it so beautifully by saying, Elu v'elu divrei Elokim chayim. Both are necessary. And in the zuchus of learning the deeper meaning of this mitzvah, may we be zocha mi'artz Hashem to acknowledge our faults, embrace our shortcomings, be honest with who we are and with who we're not, but not to spend our lives beating ourselves up over that. To recognize that each of us, like the earth, is beginning this time of year to produce that beautiful bounty. You know, man sees himself in nature. And as nature begins to regenerate, man recognizes his or her ability to regenerate as well. I recognize my shortcomings. I acknowledge my shortcomings. I embrace them and pledge to work on them. But at the same time, the same way that the earth is beginning to yield its bounty, the same way the earth is beginning to yield its chidush, its renewal, and the earth is going to take its chidush and turn it into yashan, may I be zocha to find the strength to do the same. Stop over here. There is no shir next week. Next week, Lag BaOmer night. Everyone's invited. We're going to be doing a medura, bonfire, and a shir here in the shul parking lot. Emirat Hashem. It'll be after Mincha Ma'ariv on next Wednesday night, and we'll resume Emirat Hashem after that.
Thank you.
Pleasure.